Now, back to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Here's Dave Benton.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here alongside Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. And joining us on the line right now, the publisher of CollegeRPI.com, Jerry Palm. Jerry, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. Now, real quick, before we get into stuff, can you just give our listeners just a broad overview of what the RPI is and what it provides?
Sure. The RPI is a relatively simple measure of strength of schedule and how you did against your schedule. The formula is pretty simple. 25% your own record, 50% opponent's record, 25% opponent's record. So very simple. Three quarters of it is strength of schedule. There's some home and road weighting in the part that's your own record. But what it does is it gives the committee an idea, you know, which teams played strong schedules and did well. Those are the kinds of teams they want to reward with selection and seeding in the NCAA tournament. Now, it's not like the BCS. They don't let the formula do the thinking for them, and RPI alone is never decisive, but it really does give the committee a pretty good way to categorize these teams and to know which ones they really need to look at much more deeply.
When you look at RPI rankings, from a bubble standpoint, when you look at bubble teams, what would be considered a good RPI that would help a team compared to an RPI where you'd go, I don't know if we should take this team?
Yeah, right. Well, obviously, it's it'll be a little different this year with three more at-large teams, but when we had a 34-team pool, in general, if you were in the top 50 of the RPI, there was that's where most of the at-large teams were going to come from. There might be one or two a year that were outside the top 50 that would still get at-large bids, but the vast majority were going to be in the top 50. Now that we've got three more at-large teams, you might see that number slide down a little bit, but we're not really going to know until we've had a few years of this and start to see a trend.
Jared, it's Scott here, and you're talking about how playing tough games, it kind of fits. That leads right into Michigan State's schedule. So, and we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, and earlier today, playing those tough games early, how much does that really help Michigan State?
Well, and that's their M.O. They do that every year. So, you know, Tom Izzo likes to have his team protected in a non-conference schedule, and I think that's fine. You know, what it helps Michigan State because it means that, you know, here's a team that's had some struggles this year, certainly in conference play, but even non-conference play, they didn't really pick up a lot of the quality wins. They played a lot of good teams, but they only really beat, I think, Washington. So, you know, they have managed a few good wins, but it's, you know, now they're only about four games over 500, and that's about the minimum to get in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, they're now in a position where, yeah, it's been a difficult schedule, but they didn't win enough of those games, and now, you know, are they going to make the tournament or not? That's in doubt. And we're going to see how this team plays here at the end of the year. The last 2 weeks, I think, have been encouraging. But I think the Purdue game, you know, that's a chance for Michigan State to make a statement. They don't have to beat Purdue to make the NCAA tournament. But if they do, that's obviously a big feather in their cap. It would probably be their best win of the year. And I think it's the kind of a thing that continues to build the momentum that they're on right now.
Is Washington still considered a good win when you consider the struggles they've had down the stretch?
Yeah, it's an iffy win. They're a borderline tournament team. So, you know, if things were in a situation where Michigan State and Washington were competing for a spot in the tournament, that's a win that helps them. But in terms of, you know, helping them get a good seat, you know, they've got better wins than that.
We're talking with Jerry Palm, the publisher of CollegeRPI.com. And Jerry, we just had Jeff Washburn on from Lafayette Journal and Courier, and you're a Purdue grad yourself. One thing we've been discussing, who is this game more important for, Purdue or Michigan State?
Oh, there's no question, Michigan State. You know, Purdue is in really good shape. Obviously, they're going to make the tournament, and they're playing for a high seed. You know, but for Purdue, it's, you know, it's, they're playing for seed. So, you know, beating Michigan State on the road, that's nice. It would probably be, certainly be arguably their best road win of the year. They also won at Illinois a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, so for Purdue, it's important because they're battling to play in Chicago. Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Purdue, three teams battling to play in Chicago. Probably only two of them are going to make it. So it's important in that battle. But, you know, for Purdue, it's not going to be a big negative to their seed if they end up losing this game. Whereas Michigan State's trying to make the tournament. And obviously you need every quality win you can get. Michigan State hasn't done much of that away from home, but, you know, you get Purdue at home, so you take what you can get. And I think, you know, for Michigan State, it might be the kind of win that puts them in the tournament. And then it also makes a statement that, hey, maybe we're back. You know, we're back to being Michigan State. We've shown that we can beat a top 10 team.
Jerry, last year you got all 34 at-large teams. You predicted that correctly. 55 of the 65 you had seeded properly. Right now you have Michigan State as a 10 seed. But what I find more interesting, you have Michigan as a play-in against Richmond for the 12 seed. How confident are you that Michigan can make the tournament?
Well, and that was before they lost to Wisconsin. I'm not at all confident that Michigan can make the tournament. You know, I think the thing for them is what they have is the win at Michigan State. Michigan's got a schedule of opportunity. They had the Wisconsin game at home, which, you know, was a real heartbreaker for them. They have to go to, I believe, Minnesota, and that's a team that's really struggling too. And that's a key game for both of those teams this weekend. And then obviously they get Michigan State again at home, another team they could be competing with for a spot in the tournament. And then of course you get into the Big Ten tournament, you have a chance to pad your resume a little bit there too. And, you know, Michigan is fortunate that you're going to see teams, at least bottom of the bracket level teams in the Big Ten tournament, so you have a chance to pick up a few more quality wins. So Michigan needs quality wins. Their margin for error is just about gone.
Jerry Palm, publisher at collegerpi.com, joining us on the Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS. Jerry, I want to step outside the Big Ten for a second and talk about this whole BYU-San Diego State situation. I hear people arguing that one of them could deserve to get a one seed. In your opinion, does one of them, depending on who wins this game today, deserve a one seed? And is there any scenario that would give one of them a one seed?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, first of all, the Mountain West is having a good year. You know, they've got two top 10 teams. They're legitimate top 10 teams. You've got UNLV is probably just outside the top 25 type of team. Colorado State is a borderline tournament team. New Mexico is an NIT quality team. So it's not just good at the top, but they've got pretty good depth this year. And in fact, it's the fourth rated league in the RPI ahead of the ACC. So yes, they absolutely are able to put together the credentials for a number one seed. It's going to take really good play down the stretch. And the winner of this game definitely has a leg up because BYU has already beaten San Diego State once before. So that would give them a sweep of the Aztecs, and certainly that helps them a lot. But for San Diego State, it's easier because their only loss is the loss at BYU. And if they were to finish the year with one loss, including two wins over the Cougars, then I think that it's almost a no-brainer that San Diego State would be a one seed. It's a little more of an uphill battle for BYU, and certainly there's competition. But I don't know how you could deny a team that goes 32-1 with two wins out of three against another top 10 team, a one seed.
So right now, who are your four one seeds?
Well, as it were today, I have Pitt, Ohio State, Kansas, and San Diego State. And Duke is, you know, obviously part of that. So is Texas. So is BYU. I think those are the seven teams that are going to give us the four one seeds. And really, when you look outside of that group, about the only other team that might be able to pull it off would be Purdue if they won out from here and beat Ohio State again in the conference tournament, then maybe Purdue could squeeze onto the top line too, but I consider that to be a pretty remote possibility.
You follow the numbers, obviously, with College RPI. In your mind, how much do conference tournaments play into the NCAA tournament?
Well, the thing about the conference tournament is it's another game. You know, obviously you can win selection in a conference tournament, but beyond that, it's just another of your 32 or 33 games. And, you know, it might be two more games. It might be three more games, depending on how well you do. You know, people are always asking me, well, if we get to the tournament final, is that good enough? That's not enough information. You got to know who you play to get to the tournament final. I mean, sometimes you can get to a tournament final and not have beaten anybody who helps you. So there's no weight given in how far you get in a conference tournament. It's just another game on your schedule, possibly another game on your schedule. Maybe you can pick up a quality win, but unless you win the tournament, the conference tournament in and of itself is not any more meaningful than the regular season. It just happens to be the end of the regular season.
Jerry Palm, publisher, collegerpi.com, joining us on the Weekend Kickoff. Jerry, so let's take a look at Michigan State here real quick. You got them as a 10 seed right now. Let's say they lose to Purdue and then beat Iowa and Michigan down the stretch, and then let's say win a game in the Big Ten tournament. Where do you think they deserve to be seeding wise if they lose to Purdue?
Well, I think it's going to, you know, they're going to be in the middle of the bracket or below. And the thing about seeding is it's relative. you don't control your own destiny when it comes to seeding. You just play the best you can, and then the teams around you are going to do something. But you can do something that's pretty decent, and somebody who might have been behind you does something even better, and they go by you. So you can lose a seed without winning. I mean, without losing. So and actually, Purdue's an example of that. In my bracket before, after Purdue beat Illinois, they were high four seeds. They beat Wisconsin at home. They beat Ohio State at home, two top ten teams, and they went by teams that didn't lose. Then they went all the way up to the two line. So seeding is relative. Michigan State, if they play 500 ball the rest of the way, I think has a decent chance of making the tournament. And if they can do better than that, they have a chance to improve their seed. But, you know, obviously beating Purdue is the kind of a game that can help your seed more than beating Michigan. And as to winning one game in the conference tournament, who did you play? You know, if they beat Iowa in the conference tournament, that doesn't do anything for them. If they beat Minnesota in the conference tournament, that's a little better. So it depends on who you play. And then who ultimately beats you.
Right. Jerry, one more question before we let you go. Who, in your opinion, I mean, I know we see rankings and stuff, who is the best team in the country right now?
I guess I would have to say Pittsburgh. I don't know. Maybe Ohio State. One of those two.
Can they win? Can one of those teams?
Can
one of those teams win the national championship?
Absolutely.
Or do you think there's something hanging there?
I mean, take a look at Ohio State. Ohio State has two losses this year. They lost both of those games on the road to teams that haven't lost at home all year. And in each game, the opponent had one guy have the game of his life. If that's what it takes to beat Ohio State, you got to like their chances.
It's a very good point. Jerry Palm, publisher, collegerpi.com, joining us. Jerry, we appreciate it. Very good stuff.
All right, thank you.
All right, Jerry Palm, publisher, collegerpi.com. We'll wrap it up next. We'll talk Michigan State, Purdue, and also what else is going on around the nation. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.